And we head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline as it's time to say hello to Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com for his weekly visit. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. From design to installation, the team at Diversified has you covered. View their portfolio online at sunandscreen.com. Brent Hubbs, how are you?
I'm doing all right, John. How you doing today, buddy?
Doing quite well. Thank you very much. Sure to appreciate that. Why don't we start first with an addition to the Tennessee football program. What did you think when the Volunteers got the commitment from safety Sylvester Smith?
Well, I mean, Tennessee had been trending there for several weeks. I think Steve had asked me about him a couple of weeks ago, and I mentioned that that was a guy that seemed to like Tennessee a lot. He came back up here for the spring practice that was open for the Big Orange Fest, or I can't remember what they called that thing, but the day it snowed, the snow scrimmage is what I've deemed it. He was in town for that day, and I think that was the final push for him, that they kind of sold him and his mom that Tennessee was the right fit for him. And I like him athletically. I think he's a really good-looking player. He's got good ball skills. I like his film. I think he's a guy whose stock is going to continue to rise. I think Tennessee will, you know, is in great shape, obviously, with the commitment. And I have no reason to doubt that they will hold on to him. But they'll have a dogfight there. There'll be schools making hard plays for him and coming after him. Auburn in state is certainly trying. We'll see kind of where he's on Alabama's board, John. I don't know how high up he is right now in terms of what that pecking order is going to look like. But that's a guy that Tennessee's getting a really good player in him, and some schools are going to come after him. But I like his range. I like, you know, I think he's physical for his size, and he's only going to get more physical as he gets bigger.
Brent, in regard to Justin Powell, there have been reports he's entered the transfer portal. Your thoughts on Tennessee potentially losing him?
Well, that you know, if he does, then that tells me that, you know, it's all about, you know, it's all about playing time, and that's understandable. He didn't play a ton of minutes at times this year, and I don't think that's the year anybody envisioned him having, and certainly not the year he had. You know, unless you get a waiver, Jimmy, or he's a grad transfer of some kind, then he would have to transfer down, having already been a one-time transfer. And so we'll see. I mean, I think defensively he struggled. I think that was a bit of an issue he had at Auburn, which is, you know, which was why I don't think everybody at Auburn was crushed when he left. I think he's got a skill set. I don't think he shot the ball particularly well this year. I thought he was a little bit robotic defensively, kind of maybe fearful of making a mistake at times. But I mean, I think Justin Powell can play, but I'm not shocked if he's going to leave, because that's not, I mean, I'm sure it's not what he envisioned when he transferred from Auburn to Tennessee in terms of the amount of minutes and his role on the team and kind of where he it was at the end of the year. I mean, there were games he didn't get off the bench and play a minute. So I'm not completely stunned by that news.
Tyrese Hunter, transfer Iowa State. He's to visit Tennessee. Do you like Tennessee's chances of getting Hunter?
You know, I think they're going to put their best foot forward, and you know, nobody has a bad visit. I think Kansas is probably the school to watch there if Kansas really wants him. Where is he at in the, you know, in the world of Kansas? Is he a priority transfer for them? Do they feel like they've got to have him? How hard is Kansas going to push? If Kansas pushes hard, I think it would be harder for Tennessee to get him. So I would keep a watch out for Kansas. I think he'll feel good about Tennessee when this visit is over. You know, but we'll see there. You know, what's the NIL factor as well, Jimmy? We're seeing NIL being a real factor in the transfer world, in basketball in particular. Mm-hmm. with some players. I mean, it was announced, which was a kind of a strange announcement. You generally don't see people announce dollar figures, but there was a pretty clear tweet out about the Peck kid that transferred from Kansas State that Tennessee was involved with a little bit at one point, who ended up at Miami, and I think it's $400,000 a year that he's getting at Miami. So there's a lot of money in the transfer world and NIL stuff out there, it feels like, right now. So we'll see how big of a factor that is with Hunter as well.
And your thoughts on Tennessee getting Tyreek Key from Salina, Tennessee, the Indiana State guard. Scored a lot of points at Indiana State. Your thoughts on Key?
Like him as a player, I think it's a big deal for him to play at Tennessee, you know, to get to come back to his home state and play. I think he has a great understanding of Rick Barnes and great respect for the Tennessee program and for Barnes, wants to be coached hard. I think he's a good culture fit for Tennessee. He's obviously been a productive player. Don't know that he'll be, you know, will he score that much at Tennessee? I don't know. But he's obviously been able to score against everybody he's played against, and that includes some really nice games against some Power 5 opponents. When he's gone up against the Big Ten schools, he's been a productive scorer. And I think Tennessee needs, in their portal work, Jimmy, they've got to have somebody who can go get a basket for him. I think when you look at this roster, who's the guy who can put it on the floor late in the shot clock or when a set breaks down and there's nothing there, who's the guy who can go create a basket? And I don't know that they've got enough of that on this roster, so I think that's obviously priority for Rick Barnes and his staff in the transfer portal world out there. And we'll see, you know, what else they can get to go with him. But I like Key. I think that's a good fit for Tennessee, and I think that's a solid pickup for sure.
Our guest, Brent Hubbs of BallQuest.com. Let's go to the phones where Jeremy joins us. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Jeremy.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing well. How are you?
Hey, Jeremy.
Pretty good. Hey, Brent. I like the work that you and Austin do over at BallQuest. But I got two quick questions. The first one, what's Tennessee's stance with Tony Rojas?
You know, he's been on campus. He liked what he saw when he was here. I do expect that he will be back. But they're definitely going to be in it. That's a guy, an athlete from up in Virginia that I think that a lot of schools are liking. So we'll see. I mean, Penn State, I think, is going to be in that some. There'll be some other SEC schools get in that. But Tennessee's definitely in it. He had a really good visit when he was here.
Okay, and then my final question, the big recruiting weekend coming up here in a few weeks or whenever it is for the football program, you know, with all the high-level talent that's more likely going to be there, is this probably in your amount of time covering recruiting that you've seen this amount of like high-profile kids that is that one recruiting visit at Tennessee that they actually have a legit shot of landing, and I'll hang up and listen?
Sure. Well, let's see who gets here first. That's a better question to answer after the event happens, because those are going to be unofficial visitors, and we all know how that goes. Guy could wake up on a Saturday morning and decide not to make the drive, or parent, you know, has a conflict and can't make it, or the barbecue that holiday weekend sounds better than going on an unofficial visit somewhere. So let's see who ends up showing up. You know, in terms of a non-official visit weekend, it's on pace to be a very nice weekend with a lot of really good prospects here if they all end up coming in. If you're saying all time, Jimmy, you go back to some of those January visit weekends where you had, you know, 25 official visitors over a 4-day period, when you're talking about, you know, the Martin Luther King weekend or whenever, yeah. There was a lot of talent rolling in those days. I mean, a lot mm-hmm. of talent. So I'm real cautious about saying best ever or best of all time, because I think back to some of those January weekends back in a time where guys weren't taking all these unofficial visits, and you could roll in a really nice weekend of prospects in a hurry. And Tennessee made a living out of that over that Martin Luther King holiday weekend in January. There are a lot of big-time mm-hmm. prospects in over the years on that weekend.
We're pleased to be joined by the best of all time, Brent Hubbs at VolQuest.com.
that's a far cry. Can you put that on a loop for my wife, please? I'm the best of all time. Thank you very much.
Anything for you, pal. This appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screens. 865-656-9900 if you have a question or comment for Brent Hubbs. With us this hour, Sports Talk Today is at Powell's Personal Auto Locator Service, which is on Wilbanks Road, right off of Callahan, right off the interstate, I-75 north of Knoxville. We invite you out, and of course you can check them out online at powellsknoxville.com. Let's check in with Steve. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Steve.
Hey, fellas.
Hey.
Hey, Brent, you remember there was somebody giving a crystal ball for Tennessee from some player from, was it Illinois, defensive end? And I hadn't heard him mentioned in a few weeks. And do you know anything about somebody like that?
Well, he's from Missouri. There's a five-star defensive end from up there that – you know, Tennessee's involved in. They're a long ways from being a crystal ball projection to being a Vol, in my opinion.
Right.
I think Tennessee's in it. I think to be in it, they've got to get him back, back in town, back on campus, and see what happens from there. But you know, the one thing that's going on, and this is a bit of the Nico effect, is just the interest. I mean, Tennessee's a little bit cool right now, and I think part of that is because you got a high-profile quarterback who's committed to your program. And
right.
He's working the phones hard. He's doing a good job. Don't get me wrong. He deserves credit for that. But when you have one of those guys who jumps in and becomes, you know, a part of your program and a part of your class, everybody takes notice. And I think that's what you're seeing right now is you're seeing people take notice of Tennessee more because of that factor. And, you know, what does it translate to in the end in terms of how many guys get here or how many guys are part of the program? We'll see. But it's certainly helping Tennessee a great deal. And you're talking about Shadavian Bradley, by the way, is the player you're talking about. He's a defensive end prospect out of Missouri. 6'6", 210, edge guy is who you're speaking of, that somebody is crystal balled. Again, I think Tennessee's going to be in it. I think they'll be a factor. They'll be a finalist for him. I'm a long ways away from saying my recruiting machine, prognostication machine, is not prognosticating him to Tennessee at this point. It's a little early for me.
Yeah.
Not projecting a winner there.
Right. One more question.
Okay, buddy.
Near the border. What about him? I hadn't heard him mentioned in a few weeks.
Yeah, Christian Conyer is who you're talking about. He will be one of those guys. He's a four-star corner from Bowling Green High School or Bowling Green, Kentucky. He's a guy that I expect will be in town for that weekend, the holiday weekend at the end of May that's coming up. That's Memorial Day, as I learned last week when I texted Jimmy. I get my holidays confused, but he will be in for that one. Tennessee, Kentucky, I think all the way. I think those are the two finalists. I feel much more optimistic about Tennessee's chances with him than I would be with Bradley at this point. He's been here multiple times. He knows Caleb Herring really well. He knows a good number of the in-state kids that are committed to Tennessee. He knows really well. He knows Elijah Herring, been here multiple times, and I think he's pretty comfortable with Tennessee. There's a lot of Kentucky pressure in that area, a lot of Kentucky fans in that area, but I, you know, I think Tennessee stands a pretty good shot with him at this point.
Okay. Well, okay, I wasn't meaning to say on the boy out of Missouri that I thought – I just knew I hadn't heard him mentioned in a few weeks, and I figured you could tell me some stuff about him.
So, there you go.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
Thanks.
Steve, sure do appreciate it. 865-656-9900 to join us. 865-656-9900 puts you on Sports Talk outside the area. Toll free, 866-656-9900.
Brent, what has stood out to you on the Big Orange Caravan?
A lot of fans are just happy to see coaches out and about. You haven't been able to do that the last couple of years. It's not the coach's fault, but, you know, I was in Tri-Cities, and that area really loves Tennessee. They don't get a ton of stuff up that way all the time, you know, people coming up to see them and that type of thing. So there was a big crowd for that. I think the one thing that stood out to me, I mean, in talking to Rick Barnes at that stop, just, you know, trying to get a handle on transfer portal life combined with NIL, as we talked about in the first segment, how that's kind of different, and just the continued roster turnover that you're dealing with. And, Coach Barnes is a protector of the game. He's always been he always has been. He's been on rules committees. He's been in it a long time. He's seen a lot of changes. This is a significant major change, and I think he understands that you have to embrace it, and I think he is, and as he learns more about it, but he wants to learn it. He wants to know it very clearly and understand all of it there. But, you know, I think when you look at basketball, you've had some icons leave the game, and I think part of the reason why those icons are leaving the game is NIL and the transfer portal. I don't think that's why Mike Krzyzewski left the game. Okay, I do think that's why Roy Williams left the game. He basically said as much.
He did, Jay Wright,
and I think that's exactly why Jay Wright's leaving the game. You know, there's a real challenge there, like for a Jay Wright, and I think Rick Barnes is in this category too. You know, for them, it's all about the sweat equity. You got to earn it. Jay Wright's program's hard. It's tough. You know, he plays seniors. You know, Jay Wright's not been a big one-and-done type guy. That's not been the culture in his program. You've had to earn your way through. Well, now guys leaving, you know, in a one-year jump, heading wherever they want to, or the NIL stuff, you know, as they arrive and that type of thing. I think, you know, for a guy at his point in his career with all he's accomplished, I think he said, you know what, I don't think this is for me. I'm not sure I can find happiness in the game with where it's at right now. And so I think that was my big takeaway from talking to Coach Barnes in the Tri-Cities, is he's not unhappy. It's just he's trying to get a handle on all of it because it's a lot. There's a lot going on. It's changing rapidly, you know, influences of people, expectations. As he's alluded to multiple times publicly, is all the money being thrown around, is that realistic money or is that just over talk blown? You know, is that just – you know, people throwing out crazy numbers, what's real, what's not real. All of that is something that concerns Rick Barnes about the overall game right now. And then obviously he's trying to get his roster fixed. But the fans are excited about where Tennessee's programs are right now, and that's why they've had really good crowds, I think, because there's excitement and they're out and about for the first time. So I think they'll have a big crowd in Nashville tonight for that stop, and I would imagine Memphis in their final stop will be a well-attended deal as well.
Speaking of Coach Barnes' roster, how important is it for them to land a big man?
Well, the question is, where is he going to come from? You know, I mean, who is the big man? They offered the, and I'm not even going to say, not even going to go down the name path there, but the young man from New York who played with Zakai Ziegler some, they've just offered him as a high school guy. He's 6'8". You know, where does he factor in? Does he get down here for a visit and that become real? The other thing, too, is where's the overseas market? You know, and I think that when you look at Tennessee's success with players from other countries, you know, that they've had and are having right now, I think you got a guy like Bill Polinsky who was in the NBA circles for so long. I mean, NBA teams, and Rob talked about this on our podcast a couple weeks ago, they have de facto scouting departments in Europe looking at players, you know, and they're looking at them when they're young players to like, hey, we need to keep an eye on this guy. Maybe he goes straight to the NBA or whatever the case may be. So can a guy like Bill Polinsky use some of those ties to really locate some international type players? And is that a factor, for a big man? Because it used to be the international players had a pretty tough adjustment for them when they came over here. But I don't think that's the case now. I think you're seeing impact first-year international players because I think they're more prepared for the American game. I think they understand the physicalities of the game. I think they play the game in Europe more American-style than they played it, you know, 10, 12 years ago, 15 years ago when guys came over. And the big men really seemed to struggle. It took them a while because they were more, quote, finesse-type players. Look at those two big guys from Arizona. There wasn't anything finesse about those two guys on the basketball court this year. They're more prepared to play early when they come from overseas because I think they play a more American-style physical game now.
That's Brent Hubbs with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We've got more coming your way. To join us, 865-656-9900. That's 865-656-9900. Brent's appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. To join us, 865-656-9900. That's 865-656-9900. Now, don't expect anybody's name to get called tonight, but Brent, who do you think will be the first VFL taken over these next 3 days of the NFL draft?
You know, I think it's going to be Velus Jones or Alante Taylor, and it's just a matter of what team fits best. I like Velus Jones. I think Velus Jones is a better player, going to be a better NFL player than a lot of people give credit for. I think he's stronger. He's got a little more size to him than people think. He could play special teams as a return guy. He could play coverage teams on special teams. He can play in the slot. I like Velus Jones' upside, you know. And, again, when you're talking about a 53-man roster and you carry 48 on a Sunday, if you got a guy who can play, say he's your fourth receiver and he's going to be a return guy and he's going to play, you know, coverage on punt coverage or whatever, all of a sudden there's a lot of value to that. So you can get immediate value out of him. I think Alante Taylor is in the same situation in terms of being able to play special teams. Is Alante ready to play in the secondary on a Sunday in man coverage? He's got the length. I think he needs to be more consistent. His speed time, though, helped him a lot, the same way Velus Jones' speed time helped him. I think they're clearly the first two guys taken. Is it who over the other? We'll see. I think that's just a matter of what team has a need where, probably somewhere in the third round with those two guys.
Yeah, I think it's either going to be Taylor or Butler. But I do think that it's funny, as we've talked about this, you've had three of the four that have been projected as the first VFL taken, with Cade Mays, unfortunately, being the one that has not climbed all the way to the top. Although, if we had been talking about this after the 2020 season, Cade Mays would have been the top prospect out of these four.
Yeah, it would have been, and I think part of that's, you know, Cade's played tackle. He's gonna be a guard, but I think there's some questions. You know, some people have a few questions about him at guard from just the overall physicality, some health. You know, he's been through a lot of injuries. Where's he at with that? And again, fit. You know, I mean, this is a deep draft because of the COVID year. I mean, there's a lot of guys in this draft. So if two years ago, you know, there's probably half as many offensive guard or offensive linemen in the draft as there's going to be this year, because who took most advantage of a super senior year? Probably linemen.
Yeah.
You know, and so all of a sudden it's a really deep
Velus
draft.
And Velus Jones.
Yes. Yeah. And a few guys. I mean, Kenny Pickett. I mean, there's some obviously guys, but if you said one position, it's probably offensive line.
Yeah.
You know, and guards are not the first guys taken, okay? Guards typically fall in the draft because everybody needs tackle, and they're going to spend their money on tackles. Because when you talk about where guys are going to – you're going to pay for a guy who can shut down a receiver on the outside, you're going to pay for a guy who can get to the quarterback off the edge, and a guy who can protect his quarterback on the edge. That's kind of the top three slots outside of the quarterback position when you talk about the draft.
Right now, it's four that are projected to be drafted. Theo Jackson could also hear his name called, or he will certainly be one of the first free agents signed if he's not drafted on Saturday. But what is the impact on Josh Heupel's resume with this draft class, or is it much of a ripple at all in terms of that proving ground? Because now that you're at a school in the SEC, it is about who you can sign in December and February, and who you can send to the next level.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think the one thing that, if I'm Tennessee's creative and Josh Heupel, and Josh Heupel won't do this, but people around Josh Heupel doing, is not only did they, the guys who got drafted, but where would they have been drafted a year ago before Josh Heupel got here? Where's Matthew Butler? What board is he on before a year with Rodney Garner and a year in this system? Where was Velus Jones going to be drafted had he not come back for his super senior year, right? I mean, how much, you know, Alante Taylor, how much did he help his stock this year versus a year ago? So
I don't know any of the three would have been drafted.
I don't know that they would have been either. So I think that's the selling point, is the development of players that you can say, hey, in a year's time, here's what we did with these guys. Here's what happened. You know, Willie Martinez – again, had three guys drafted from Central Florida last year. He's got a guy coming off the board for Tennessee this year, and I think Theo Jackson's got a great shot to make a team. I really do. So those are the things that I think you sell in year one about, hey, here's where we are. Now, we're not drafted on the first night, but look how much these guys improved in a year in our system.
Could Theo Jackson be the next Justin Coleman?
So that's the it's the example I used to somebody in a text message. I said, well, they were talking about him, and I just said, there's a lot of Justin Coleman there because Justin Coleman was a guy. Now, what's interesting is Theo Jackson is more beloved by the Tennessee fans than Justin Coleman was when he left. Yeah. A lot of people didn't think Justin was a very good player. I'll never forget, and I always respected Willie Martinez, but I had a conversation with Willie Martinez, Justin Coleman's senior year, I don't know, maybe late October, first November, and he wasn't making a ton of plays, it didn't feel like, and we're sitting there talking about Justin Coleman, and he's having to play nickel, and is he playing out of position or whatever, and he just looked at me and goes, you don't have any idea what he does for us back there and how much he fixes problems for us. He's going to be a pro because of what he does back there that nobody knows about or nobody sees. And you know what? Guy's still in the league, and he's exactly right. And I think there's a lot of Theo Jackson in that, a guy who really understands the game, who can fix a lot of problems and play in that nickel position. That's why I give Theo Jackson a real shot to make an NFL team, because I do think there's some similarities to Justin Coleman there in that position for Willie Martinez. Those guys have really benefited for him at the next level.
Let's see if you go along with me on this one. So we saw Velus Jones have a great last season. Cedric Tillman came out of nowhere, 8 catches in 3 years. He has a great year. I am confident that they will be good at wide receiver. I don't know if it's going to be Jalin Hyatt. I don't know if it's going to be Ramel Keaton, Chase Nimrod, somebody. I'm confident they're going to be very productive at receiver. Do you see it that way too?
Yeah, because I saw a bunch of guys running wide open this past year because of the scheme. Yeah. I mean, if you can run, I think you're going to have a chance to be successful. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, some of those things you look up and you're like, well, yeah. I mean, like, how's he 20 yards behind somebody? You know, I mean, even an overthrow in the Georgia game on the first series Tennessee had. I mean, there's nobody in the middle of the field on that play. Yeah. And that was a scheme play to create a bust that way. Look, everybody's spending this offseason studying Tennessee. When you talk about offseason skull sessions and going to visit in other schools and really breaking teams down and doing your offseason study, Tennessee, for everybody in this league, Tennessee's at the top of the list, in my opinion. Okay, now there's a lot of Billy Napier and new coaches that are coming in, but when you say, wait a minute, what do we need to do? You don't think Kirby Smart watched? I mean, Tennessee was in the red zone 5 times against Georgia. They moved it up and down the field, couldn't finish because Georgia's hellacious on defense in the front 7, but they move the ball all day long, and so everybody's going to study it and figure it out or try to figure it out. So what's the counter to that? I think it's going to be interesting. But there's a history with Josh Heupel, Jimmy. Everywhere he's been, receivers are productive. It's a little bit Spurrier-like because you always felt like Spurrier could take somebody out and put somebody in. Okay, let's take out Riedel and let's put in Travis McGriff. You know, Riedel Anthony's much better, right? I mean, from an athletic standpoint than Travis McGriff, but Travis McGriff's always open. I mean, you can plug and play, and I think that because of Josh Heupel's system, there's some plug and play there, which is why I'm with you. I think Cedric Tillman needs help on the other side. They need a speed guy over there, and whether that's Ramel Keaton or whether they get Brew McCoy coming in as a transfer or a freshman or whatever, he needs another guy over there to take some pressure off. But schematically, they had somebody open in every game. Nobody shut it down, and so because of that, yes, they'll be productive at receiver.
Drew McCoy, chances of Tennessee getting him?
Well, he's visited Tennessee and only Tennessee. So if he's going to leave Southern Cal, it certainly feels like it's Tennessee. I think we'll know something, Jimmy, in the next 10 days, 2 weeks with him in terms of a final decision. USC has tried to work to get him to stay. Does he want to stay after USC made him sit out this past year and all that he had to go through there for something that was really – that there was never anything against him in terms of a charge filed or anything like that. does he want to stay? Does Lincoln Riley, can he talk him into staying? Or does he end up at Tennessee? I don't see it. Because he hasn't visited another school, it feels like those are the only two options. So you got to think Tennessee stands a really solid shot at landing him in the next 2 weeks.
Our guest, Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com, his appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. A final segment for us today with Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. To get a question or comment in under the wire, 865-656-9900. That's 865-656-9900. And Brent, with the draft getting underway tonight, is that still perhaps the biggest proving ground for any program, is how many they're sending to the National Football League, or is NIL and all of that stuff catching up?
No, I mean, I think at the end of the day, guys want to go where they can play and have the best chance to play at the next level. Now, the reality is this. The NFL will find you wherever you are, right? That's why the young man from Farragut is going to get drafted at some point. And I mean, he went to – his best option was Chattanooga, you know, when he ended up becoming a really good player. It's a credit to him and what he's done. So the NFL will find you. If you're talented enough. But I do think that players look at that development thing. And, you know, NIL is a big factor. But at the end of the day, too, I think you still have to recruit guys. They've got to be the right culture fit for you. They've got to feel comfortable with you. Because at some point, the monies are going to become somewhat even across the board. So if that's the case, then what are you going to get back to, right? If you got two job offers, and the money's within, you know, a few dollars of each other, a couple thousand dollars of each other. Is the money going to be the separator there? Are you going to go to the place where you think you got more upside in your job, or a place where you like the culture of the job? I mean, whatever. I do think that's still going to be a factor. I don't think it's just going to be this school outbid this school to get this kid. I just don't think that's what long-term, that's what NIL is going to ultimately end up being. It's not just going to be buying kids that way.
Let's get a call from Wendell. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Wendell.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Fine, how are you?
I am doing well. Brent, I have a couple of questions for you about basketball recruiting. It seems to me that basketball recruiting's kind of fallen off this past year, struggled a little bit. Does that have anything to do with the turnover in the assistant coaches?
Yeah, I think it did. And that's not because, and I'm not suggesting that the new assistants can't recruit. They just did not have the relationships with some of those guys. And basketball recruiting, particularly pre-NIL stuff, you know, you were recruiting that guy since he was a freshman or sophomore. You know, I mean, you were only recruiting two or three. You know, Michael Schwartz had a couple guys here. You had Des Oliver, who had a couple guys. It wasn't like those guys were managing territories. They weren't managing a position group of 20 or something like that. I mean, they were recruiting just a handful of guys in that class, so they got their undivided attention. So when that relationship breaks off and you try to start that new relationship late in the game, I think it's real challenging. And I think that was something that certainly affected Tennessee in recruiting.
Yeah, it looks like Julian Phillips might be leaning toward Auburn, which is not good.
Well, again, everything's different now because you got an NIL factor in play there. So where's the NIL factor with him that was not going to be, you know, that was not the case a year ago or 2 years ago? How big of a factor is that? Where does that plan, what is Auburn's NIL plan versus Tennessee's NIL plan or anybody else's NIL plan? Because I think NIL is a factor.
Okay, one more question. Do you think our front line is caliber for a championship team that's coming back next year? I don't think so. What do you think?
I think they need big man help in the transfer portal or an overseas player. I think they need to find big man help.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Sure
to appreciate it, Wendell. Thank you very much.
Brent, you got Caleb Herring is headed to the Polynesian Bowl along with tight end Ethan Davis and the quarterback Nico. Now, do you – in those situations, do you think recruiting goes on when you get three guys at an all-star game?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, that's – You know, that's absolutely part of it. Now, when you get to that thing, most of those guys are going to be signed and done, so it's not going to be a factor. I mean, I think the more recruiting is going on when you're on unofficial visits or you're at camp somewhere or a 7-on-7 tournament in the summertime, those types of things more than there, because those guys are going to, you know, I would imagine those guys are going to come right from the Polynesian Bowl to school as a midterm enrollee. I applaud all three of them for their choice of what bowl to play in. No offense to the fine people at the, I don't know if it's still, it's not the Army All-American Games, just the All-American Bowl. No offense to San Antonio. I don't want to sound like Charles Barkley here, but Hawaii is a little nicer to hang out in my opinion, than going to San Antonio. So if I'm a high school kid and I get the opportunity to go play on the island in Hawaii in late December, 1st of January, I'm probably in a sign-me-up campaign.
Well, that's a nice honor, isn't it?
It is a nice honor, and obviously that's a great trip. And Tennessee doesn't need to get any more guys committed to that, because I know of at least one person on my staff who's going to be going, hey, I'll cover that for us. I got no problem going cover that, and I might take my golf clubs. Not to name names or anything.
If the price is right.
Exactly. Exactly.
Quick thought or two on Tennessee hosting Auburn this week with the Volunteers at 17-1 in SEC play going in.
Crazy. I mean, crazy where Tennessee's at. I thought Tennessee was terrific last weekend at Florida. I know they had the late rally, but I thought the Saturday game was a great baseball game. And Tennessee played well on Friday night. You just love the way this team plays. Auburn will be a challenge. I mean, Auburn's got – you know, they've been really good on Sundays, which is kind of bizarre. They've been a little more up and down, it seems like, on Friday and Saturday. But they a couple guys who can hit it real well. They don't have the depth in the lineup in terms of batting order like a Tennessee. Of course, nobody, I don't think anybody does in the league like Tennessee. But, you know, they can cause some damage and do some things. So this will be a nice test and a nice challenge for Tennessee. Weather looks really good for a change. So it'll be nice to see a bunch of fans in the stands who aren't having to have scarves and toboggans and mittens, ponchos. You know, you might actually get to roll your shirt sleeves up and get a farmer's tan this weekend sitting at the ballpark, because it does look like it's going to be a great weather weekend.
What all is going on at VolQuest.com these days?
We've got some recruiting stuff up, plenty of baseball today. Mailbag podcast is up. We'll have plenty of recruiting for you tomorrow. The War Room coming up tomorrow, some more recruiting stuff. Ben's going to get you ready for Tennessee and Auburn with his preview. We'll have the Diamond Ball podcast with Eric and Ben to get you ready for baseball as well. Full coverage of Tennessee all weekend long in baseball.
It's all right there at VolQuest.com. Brent, always appreciate it. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That's Brent Hubbs of VolQuest.com. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. From design to installation, the team at Diversified has you covered. View their portfolio online at sunandscreen.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.